Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the day I won't pick up, just for the day I don't give up, just for the day I won't pick up, and God I trust I won't pick up, just for the day I won't pick up, just for the day and God I trust, just for the day I won't pick up, and God I trust I don't give up. Yeah, you can go and tell the weed man, he ain't got nothing that I need, man. I ride by that ABC store saying, hey, you won't be seeing me no more. Yeah, you can go and tell the trap boy, yo, it's a rap, boy. You are not welcome in me, casa. You ain't got nothing for me, nada. No matter how hard life hits, I know where my life is. Yo, no matter how hard the crisis, yo, I know who Christ is. Yo, no matter what I won't pick up. Yo, no matter what I won't pick up. No matter what I won't pick up. Yeah. No matter what I won't pick up, just for the day. No matter what I won't pick up.
Welcome, welcome, listeners. Welcome to the Recovery Just for Today show. I'm your host, Lloyd B., with my co-host, Lloyd Sr. And this is the Recovery Just for Today show, the show that is dedicated to those who are struggling with addiction, those who are in recovery, as well as we are a show that is a resource for family members of those who suffer from addiction and also are in recovery, who have loved ones who are in recovery. And we are coming to you live. We come live every Monday at 8 p.m. Through WIN Radio. WIN Radio stands for We Inspire Network. And today, you know, we have a great show lined up for you today. And, you know, what I would like, you know, what I would like to do is, you know, introduce, well, just let my co-host, Lloyd Sr., come in and share you know, share his introduction.
Yes, thank you, Lloyd. Good afternoon, listeners. This is Lloyd Sr., the co-host here of my son Lloyd's B Recovery Talk Radio program. I'm delightful to be here this evening to share on our second season. Hope and strength for recovering addicts and alcoholics.
Yes. Well, we are, like you said, we are super excited to be in our second season. Those who have joined us maybe for the first time, if you haven't heard any of our shows before, we have some that are archived on YouTube. We'll be uploading the rest of them, last season's shows. We'll be uploading those as well. And, you know, just go back. We like we said, we just want to be a resource to family members as well as those who are in the process of recovery, or those who are struggling, currently struggling with addiction or what have you. And each show, we like to start off with a moment of silence for the still suffering addict, for those who are still caught up in the grips of addiction, and for those who have lost their lives, those who have lost loved ones to this disease, this addiction. We have a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. So if you would join in with us as we do that. So let's go ahead and start off with our moment of silence. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Amen. Well, today our show, we're going to kick off. What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
Okay. Yeah, today we're going to kick off our show, listeners. We're going to kick off a show that I believe is going to, you know, turned into an actual series. And the show starting off with to start the series is called What is Recovery? And, you know, we want to delve into this topic because we believe it's very important. Hey, we got a show. It's called Recovery Just for Today. And that's what we're talking about on a daily basis. We're talking about recovery. And so, you know, one of the things that we want to do is to talk about what is recovery? You know, what does that look like? What does that mean to you? You know, when you hear the word recovery, like my father asked me today, you know, a good question is when you hear the word recovery, what does it mean to you? You know, what thoughts come to your mind when people are when you speak into a person who is a alcoholic or an addict, someone who's struggling with addiction, and they begin to speak about recovery, what are they talking about? You know, you know, I would venture to say that some people, even in the process of recovery and treatment centers and things of that nature, I know for sure that there are people who have different opinions about that. So, and it can be confusing to some people. So, you know, I think that's a great topic. And my, you know, I want to thank Lloyd Sr. for, you know, bringing up that topic. I think that this will be a great, it will turn into a great series. And before we, you know, actually get into talking about different things and when we addressing the topic, I want to ask, you know, Lloyd B., did he have anything that he wanted to add to that before we play the little clip?
No, well, not really. I was just thinking, though, the reason I thought about recovery, you know, when we say recovery, what, you know, what are we actually saying? Are we saying, are we cured of the addiction or just what does it mean when you say recovery? I think sometimes I don't know if that word, because I know when I first thought about this whole thing about, you know, getting stop using drugs and alcohol, I thought to myself, you know, what does that mean? How? So I have to be, and it was just frightening to me to think that I wouldn't be able to drink anymore. So I don't know, you know, I guess I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, what is recovery? What does it really mean, you know? So I guess that's why I thought about this topic in the beginning. I know I'm probably not making any sense, but
You're right. That does make sense.
It's puzzling to me, you know, and that's why I thought about, you know, I wanted to hear something about, you know, what recovery actually meant. What does it look like? And, you know, is it a process? You know, all of that. That's the reason I came up with this this idea of talking about recovery.
Yeah, and this is, you know, and I'll share this, and you know, because I was listening to, you know, some clips, some videos and different things, you know, recovery videos and stuff. I like looking at recovery videos, especially when we're getting prepared for the, you know, for our shows and stuff like that. You know, part of our process, listeners, is that we talk. My father and I talk. We look at, you know, recovery based videos and things of that nature, and we, you know, we have our own discussions, kind of like a meeting before the meeting, you know what I mean? And so, you know, that's kind of our process. And as we were talking, I was telling my father about, you know, a clip that I had listened to where an individual had just gotten out of a 28-day rehab program, and his question to some of the quote unquote experts, recovery experts, was, okay, well, why can't I just go back to work? I don't want to use. I don't have a desire to use. I've been in treatment for 28 days. You know, all I want to do is go back to work. All I want to do is get back to my normal life. You know, I've been through the little treatment program. I've got 30 days clean, and as of today, I don't have a desire to use. So what's the big deal about all of my friends telling me that I need to, you know, get into recovery or get into a program? And so a recovery program. Well, why are they telling me I need to do this? And what is that? And what is recovery anyway? You know, can I just go back to work and don't, you know, and just don't use, you know? And so that question is not just something that, you know, we have, but I'm pretty sure that there are many of people out there who, you know, who are asking that same question when people are telling them, hey, man, you might need a little bit more help, you know, than just not drinking or whatever that may be, whatever you're doing. You know, you may need a little help, and you're like, hey, you know, I mean, what do you mean? What do you mean recovery? What do you mean by recovery? You know,
if I can interject for a second here. So what I hear you saying is that recovery is not a fix. Sometimes we may be looking for a fix, something to get us back to being quote unquote normal. But recovery is not a fix. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It's not a quick fix. And those who are go ahead. It's definitely not a quick fix. And we'll probably get more into that term recovery as we go forward. But you're right. It's not a quick fix. And most people who speak about recovery and who call themselves recovering addicts or in the process, they call it a process, the process of recovery. They use words like a journey, process, ongoing process. It's not a quick fix. There are some things that in the process that can happen faster than others. But when that happens, that doesn't mean that that you have arrived to the point to where we can, you know, just say, hey, you know, I don't need any more help. You know, I've got my fix and I'm good. You know, I hope that kind of answers your question. As we go along.
I know. But as you were talking, I'm getting a little excited because I'm thinking as you were talking, and then another question popped up in my mind. I know you want to get to the tip, but another question popped up in my mind is that recovery can be, I guess recovery sometimes can be a scary thing to some people when they kind of hear the word recovery. It can be kind of frightening, I guess, sometimes. Do you think?
Yes, it is because at one in one breath you say, it's almost like an oxymoron or it's almost like something that when someone tells you, okay, listen, you are going to be recovering in the process of recovery for the rest of your life. But then they come back and they say, you only have to recover one day at a time. So it's it's scary, but when you look at it one day at a time, it's not that frightening, you know?
Oh, okay.
So it's like, when they first tell you, they have to let you know the urgency and the severity of your condition early on, so that you don't think early on, okay, I got this thing licked and I can go back out there. So they got to tell you early on the severity of your condition. Hey, look, man, you're not gonna lick this overnight. This is something you're gonna be working on for the rest of your life. You're gonna always be trying to get better, and you know, and in some ways, all people should be trying to get better every day of their life. So I mean, you know, it's not like we're saying, hey, you know. you know, hey, you know, something different for you. But, you know, yeah, we recovery is an ongoing process, and we, you know, we try to get better each day, you know, for the rest of our life. But, you know, that's the scary thing to say, hey, man, you know, you're going to need some help and some support for this thing for the rest of your life. And, you know, and so it's a scary thought, you know, because that's what you hear first. You know, that's the first thing you hear first, you know.
So then we have to be taught how to look at this thing called recovery.
Right.
We have to.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's part of what we're going to be talking about as far as what is recovery. You know, part of the definition of recovery is change. And one of the things that we must change, you know, is our mindset, the way we look at things. But we'll get into it, you know what I'm saying, after this commercial. We're going to take a quick commercial, and then when we come back, we'll jump into our clip, and then we'll pick in a little bit more. But I'm excited.
Okay.
And
And
we'll go ahead and go to our clip. So y'all stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hello. My name is Minister Lloyd Bell Jr., CEO of We Inspire Network Radio.
God bless you, and I am Minister Annie Bell, the COO of We Inspire Network Radio. We had you, our listeners, in mind when we created We Inspire Network Radio, or as we like to call it, WIN Radio.
We incorporated your thoughts and opinions to ensure that our programming will embody true inspiration.
And we will continue to bring relevant and heartfelt shows that cater to the needs and wants of our growing listener base.
Please, subscribe to our network so that you can stay connected.
Join us here every week,
where together, through God, we win.
Hi, my name is Lloyd B., and I am the host of Recovery Just for Today, which is a show dedicated to those who are struggling with addiction and substance abuse. I host the show with my father, Lloyd B. Sr., and together we come and we share our experience, strength, and hope every Monday at 8 p.m. Join us as we air live on WIN Radio, which stands for We Inspire Network. If you or your loved one suffers from addiction, or you know someone who is in recovery, please share this information, because you never know when what you have to share may actually save someone's life. Thank you, and God bless you.
Welcome back, listeners. We thank you. Welcome back to the Recovery Just for Today show. And we want to say we appreciate you all for tuning in to the show that is dedicated to those who are in recovery and those who are struggling with addiction. I'm your host, Lloyd B., with my co-host, Lloyd Sr., my father. And we come on every Monday at 8 p.m., to share our experience, strength, and hope. And today we've been talking about the topic, which I believe is going to turn into a great series, which is called What is Recovery? And we were talking before the break, we were talking about, what recovery looks like. What does that mean? And, you know, some of the misconceptions that may, we were starting to touch on some of the misconceptions that people may have about recovery, the fears that people may have when they hear the word recovery, some of the thoughts, patterns that are associated with the word recovery. And I think this is going to be a great show. We have a clip that we want to play. And then we're going to launch into, digging deeper into this topic, which is what is recovery. So just, if you would stay tuned, and we're going to play this clip, and then we'll come right back and we'll discuss it.
Hi, my name is Beth Burgess from Sort My Life Solutions Recovery Coaching, or SMILES. Just want to have a chat today about what is recovery, and what's the difference between just being clean and sober and recovery? Because there is a difference. A lot of people that start out on the journey to stopping drinking or stopping taking drugs don't actually realise there's a difference. I didn't the first time I got sober, which is why I eventually relapsed. So I just want to talk to you about the difference, because I think a lot of people, they tend to give up on stopping drinking or stopping taking drugs because in the initial days it seems so hard and it doesn't seem worth it. It seems so unpleasant. You're getting all the cravings, you're constantly obsessing about drinking or drugs, you want to go back to it. I mean, that's normal, that's addiction. But the thing is, what people don't realise is that that doesn't last. If you actually enter onto the journey of recovery, that stuff doesn't last. It goes away. You don't have to live your whole life like that if you just make the right changes. So I'll just tell you a little bit about what I did the first time that I got sober. It was horrible. It was really horrible. It was boring. I didn't feel like myself. I was constantly, you know, feeling cravings and feeling sorry for myself and thinking, oh, why can everyone else drink and I can't? You know, what's wrong with me? And it was uncomfortable, it was difficult, and I found myself getting very stressed out, very upset. You know, sometimes I would have to lock myself in the bathroom so I didn't go out and drink because I was that, you know, that desperate to have a drink. And that's what my first kind of long period of sobriety was like. And it was awful. You know, there's no way that if the whole of my life was like that, I would be sober now. There is no way. But that's what I want to tell you. It's not like that now, because I've actually made steps to recover. And what recovery is actually like is completely different. I barely even think about alcohol these days. I don't have cravings. Very, very occasionally, like a little thought may pop into my head. That's just addiction. You get used to that. But it's not every day. It's not every week. It's not even every month sometimes. It just comes up, you know, very, very occasionally. And I don't obsess about it. I don't sit there feeling, you know, thinking, oh, you know, it's not fair anymore. I don't. I love my life sober. But the thing that really makes the difference and how you get to that stage is basically by changing certain things in your life. Now, the first time around, I changed nothing. I changed absolutely nothing. I basically just stopped drinking and expected, like, you know, for somehow it would all get better or something. And I was just living my life in this horrible white knuckle ride where, you know, I was just hanging on for dear life, really. And that's not the way to do recovery. I didn't know that at the time. So the number one thing to change, really, is your thinking patterns and your outlook on life. I think a lot of people that kind of make that shift from sobriety to recovery, a pivotal sort of point seems to be where they actually become grateful for being sober. They actually like their sober life. And, you know, they enjoy it. They enjoy all the aspects of it. They don't feel like they're missing out anymore. They actually accept and realise that the way that they're living now, without all those horrible problems and consequences that they got from their addiction, is the way to go. So how do you get there? I think the number one thing is by changing, as I said, your thinking patterns. And this does take work. It's not necessarily an easy thing to do. People often ask me, because I seem happy and sober, which I am, they ask me, like, how did I do it? And I actually used a combination of dialectical behavioural therapy, or DBT, which is now what I teach people if they want to learn about that. I used other things. I used NLP. I did some coaching. I've done several things, and, you know, this is what I use to help other people, a whole combination of those things. And I also found that connecting with other addicts who are strong in their sobriety has been really important for me, because you get a whole new network of sober friends. You get people to kind of, you know, guide you and let you know, you can recover. It's all right to recover, and, you know, you can be happy within it. So that's really important as well, making connections. So if you are struggling and, you know, white-knuckling at the moment, please don't give up. Even when you start, you know, when you get out on that long-term sober journey, at the beginning it will be. It will be a bit white-knuckling, it will be difficult, and you have to get used to it. But once you go past that point and when you really start working on yourself, that's when recovery starts. And there won't be, you know, there won't be any more white-knuckling, there won't be any more, you know, you can change the way you think and the way you feel, basically. Anyway, so...
All right. Well, that clip, listeners, came from a lady by the name of Beth with a program called Smile, and you know that was a great clip. I really enjoyed that clip. I've got a lot I can say about it right now, but I wanted to ask my father. Lloyd B. Lloyd Senior. What you think about that?
Yeah, it was an excellent clip. She kept using the term white knuckling. Of course, I know what that means. I was wondering if you wanted to explain to the listeners what the term white knuckling means before we get into go any further talking about, you know, this. She said that recovery is a journey. It's a journey that you go on, and a portion of that journey is what she kept referring to as white knuckling. I'm wondering if you could talk about that so the listeners can know what white knuckling means.
Yeah, that is. I know that's one of your favorite terms.
it's real
and it's something, especially what you'll hear for people who are recovering alcoholics. The first time I heard that term was in AA, in the rooms of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, mm-hmm. for those who don't know.
Yeah.
And that term means basically is when you, like she said, you're kind of holding on for dear life. And you're holding on so tight that, you know, you can imagine a person, you know, whose knuckles, they're holding on so tight that their knuckles begin to turn white. Basically what that means is that, you know, you're holding on to what she kept saying, which is sobriety. You know what I'm saying? Sobriety. Mm-hmm. Sobriety basically means the absence of the use of whatever you're using, you know, mm-hmm. that is causing you problems, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or whatever. Whatever drug you're using, alcohol is a drug, so, you know what I'm saying, whatever drug you're using, you know, when you abstain from that and you are, you know, clean or sober, and you're just holding on to just that, you know, which is good, it's excellent, you know, because you can't start until you stop. When you're just holding on for dear life to sobriety, you know, but you're not doing anything else, you're not, you know, all you care about is just, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to smoke. That is white knuckling, and you're holding on to that for dear life, but you're not trying to do anything else, work on any other issues that you may have, and people who are white knuckling, a lot of times they are clean, but they are not serene, or they're not happy, they're not joyous, they're not necessarily getting better, you know what I mean? Because really what they have become is a dry version of what they were when they were drunk.
Wow.
So that is kind of what that term means when you hear people say white knuckling. That means they're holding on for dear life only to the very first thing, which is abstinence or sobriety.
Yeah, you know, Lord. Mm-hmm. Also, as she, excellent. That's an excellent the definition of the term white knuckling. As she was talking, I was thinking to myself that this is sort of like a divorce. You know, because when we when we drink and drug, we become we fall in love with that drink or that drug. You see,
mm-hmm.
we really, in a real sense, we marry that drug. We become married to that drug, and we fall in love with it, and then we eventually marry it to our own detriment. And so then, we have to come to a point where we have to divorce that, separate from that drug or drink or whatever it is that we're addicted to, and so sometimes, you know, in that process of divorcing, we get, you know, we still think about that drug, you know, we can't get it out of our system. That's all we do, you know. We get into the process that mode where we're white knuckling, where the only thing we're doing, you know, we're not using, but we're still thinking about it. Our thinking and our actions, our daily, what we do daily is predicated upon that drink or that drug or whatever, you know, but we're not actively using it. But our behavior is that, we are still exhibiting that behavior, but we're not actually using. So then, you know, we have to come to a point where we get beyond that. Where we get to that,
yeah.
And I think that's what she was getting to, that point about there's another stage that you get to, and I know we're gonna talk about that later on, but I just wanted to bring that out to the listeners about recovery being a journey, and you don't always, when you take a journey, you don't automatically get to from point A to point B automatically. You know, it's a trip, it's a process. It takes stages to get you to your destination. And one of the stages you go through is being enamored or being attached to that thing, you know. But you have to separate from that thing. I think that's what I'm really trying to say, and that's what I got out of as she was talking.
That's a great point. That's a great point. You know, I'm gonna say a couple of things before we go to our next break. But you know what you were saying and kind of about the divorce piece is that, you know, in relation to white knuckling, is that a lot of times early on, two things. Early on, when people accept the fact that, hey, okay, I need to change, and they begin to, you know, to just cease and desist using drugs and alcohol, what happens is, like you said, they still romanticize, you know what I mean? About that drug or that alcohol, that relationship that they have with the drugs and alcohol. And so, you know, you still have the urges, you still have the obsession and the compulsion to you, you know? And so that is when you begin to, you know, you know, it's just like you said, you know, you may split up from someone. You may be in an abusive relationship out there somewhere, you know, and you know that relationship is tearing you down. It's unhealthy. It's toxic. You know, you get away from that person for a little while, and then you begin to jones or you begin to desire to be with that person again. You forget about the times where that person beat you down or, you know, nearly killed you, but, you know, you begin to think about the good times that you had with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it wasn't all bad, you know.
Yeah.
There were some good times, you know what I mean? And maybe if I go back and, and do something, tweak it here and tweak it there,
mm-hmm.
maybe that person won't go upside my head again, you know?
Right.
And you begin to romanticize about the thing that you know you need to be divorced from. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that, you know, but early on.
That insane thinking.
It is.
That's why
you're right. You know, that the mm-hmm. the thinking has to change to even begin to get to the point of even white knuckling, because a lot of people
mm-hmm.
Won't even begin to stop because the thinking hasn't changed to the point to where, hey, you know, this is bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is bad for me. I can't continue this way. But if you get to a point to where you say, hey, this is bad for me, this drug and alcohol is bad for me, this way of living is killing me, and I
mm-hmm.
need to stop, you know, the first, like you said, the first, the beginning of this is going to be, you have to, you're going to go through some changes, the way you think and feel about,
mm-hmm.
you know, addiction or your usage. You know, your drug usage
mm-hmm.
or your alcohol usage. You know, you're going to go through some withdrawals. You're going to go through some white knuckling, which is, hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
I want to go back, but I know if I do, it's, you know, I just got to hold on until this desire
mm-hmm.
to go back to what's killing me passes, you know. And you're holding on like you're holding on, you know, waiting for somebody to come rescue you. You're holding onto, you know, a flotation device. It's like you're holding on and you're holding on until somebody, you know, comes
mm-hmm.
to rescue you. That's kind of the white knuckling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
you shouldn't freak out if you find yourself in that pattern where you're white knuckling or you're just holding on. You shouldn't freak out and think that, and freak out and go back. You just got to try to hold on and know that, in other words, I guess I'm trying to say, so it's normal to go to have that stage where, you know, you, that's to be expected. I mean, you can't just all of a sudden, some people do have an instantaneous recovery, but it doesn't always work that way, you know. So it's expected to go through that patch where you're really kind of like holding on for all it's worth.
Yeah, yeah, that's normal. That's a normal part of the. That's a normal part in the early stages of the process of recovery.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's an early stage of the process. So, you know, it's not, and a lot of times what happens is people don't get connected to hear that, you know, they're not alone. You know, there's other people who have gotten past that stage who may be in, you know, the later years of recovery, and they can tell you, hey, how they got, you know, hey, this too shall pass. That's one of the terms that you hear a lot in recovery, this too shall pass, you know, and they tell you how they got through it, you know, and so, you know, you're not alone, you know, you hit out a lot, you know, you know, because people have gone through that white knuckling stage, and they've gotten to the point to where, like you said, you know, that's not an issue anymore. The desire to use, the urge to use, you know,
mm-hmm.
is either completely removed or very rarely comes up. And when it does come up, most people have done enough work in recovery to be equipped to handle those urges that come up.
Wow.
You know. And like I even had one, like I said, you know, I've got over 10 years clean myself, like my father, and you know, I was watching the television show yesterday, and that one of the guys that was talking was standing by a bar. Now I've seen a whole bunch of shows on television, you know, with people drinking and, you know, smoking and doing all, you know, types of things that I don't involve myself in anymore. But for some reason yesterday, the alcohol in one of those bottles caught my eye. You know what I mean? Yeah. Normally I see it, but I don't see it, if that makes sense. It doesn't, it's not something that sticks with me. You know what I mean? But, but for some reason, that bottle, that alcohol, it looked good yesterday. Okay. It looked good yesterday. And, and I could almost taste it. And I started to read the bottle on the show. I wasn't even listening to what the guy was saying anymore. I was reading about it. Oh, that's tequila. Okay. And the bottle looked pretty. The alcohol looked tasty. And I caught myself saying, that's insane thinking. Okay. But, you know, like I said, you know, I'm coming up on, I think, 13 years or so now. And so, but that is not something that happens to me on a regular basis. I can't even recall the last time I've had a thought like that. You see what I mean? You know, most days I'm grateful to be, you know, recovering. I'm grateful for what God has done in my life. I don't desire to go back to that lifestyle, you know. But yesterday, for some reason, you know, it was just, I guess, a reminder. I guess this show coming up, you know what I mean? And it was good that came up, you know, and it was like a reminder that, hey, you know what I'm saying? You may be, you know, free, but you're not out of the woods, so to speak.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, this thing can get you, you know what I'm saying, if it catches you slipping.
It's a living thing. It's a living thing. It never dies. So then, if it never dies, then our diligence to try to stay, you know, stay happy and sober, it should never cease as well. You know, we should be an ongoing process for us to always try to stay, you know, ahead of it. Because it never dies, it never stops. I've been sober and clean and sober and happy 20 years, but I can relate to what you're talking about. You know, sometimes I know I've been delivered. You know, and I had what they call instantaneous delivery. You know, I know a lot of people, even people probably hearing me now speak this, really don't believe this, but you know, I had an instant delivery. The taste of drugs and alcohol was instantly taken away from me. This is real. I know people don't believe that, but that really happens to some people. Instantly, you know, it was taken away. But now don't get me wrong. Like I said, I don't have to. One day I was hooked and addicted, and the next day I wasn't. And it wasn't just adrenaline or you know, this was something real. But I say all of that to say this, that it's still a process with me, you know, because there are times when, you know, when I'm looking at a football game or something, you know, and they start talking, you know, a beer commercial or something come on, you know, and I see that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Sometimes, this is crazy too, because sometimes it's a smell, you know. It's something you see or something you hear. I'm saying all this to say to I hope somebody's listening to me tonight to know that, you know, recovery is a
recovery is a, I'm just going to say that it's a lifetime process. This is something that you're going to have to, you know, work at and be abreast of and be aware of, you know, all the time because the addiction never goes away. You know, it's always there, waiting to come back in your life. Because it knows. I would venture to say that it knows your strengths and your weaknesses, you know. I guess I'm babbling, but it's a process, Lloyd, and I know exactly what you're talking about, you know. I've had those days. They don't come often, you know, and they're not frightening. They're not frightening, but I'm aware of them.
Yeah,
that's what I need
it's a reminder that, like you said, you know, that we need to always be vigilant, you know, because I know some people don't who are listening may not be the religious type or whatever like that, you know, mm-hmm. but you know, one of the passages in the Bible says, you know, we have to be sober, be vigilant, you know, sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is like a roaring lion seeking
Absolutely.
Whom he may devour. And that's kind of like, you know, how the addiction is. It often, you know, even though you may get past the white knuckling stage and you're living your life, you're happy, you're grateful, you know, things are going good. You're beginning to recover some things, you know, that, and, you know, we need to talk about that too in the next show, maybe about how the recovering of things, material things, whether it be jobs or relationships and things like that, that also doesn't equal recovery. That's just that's a benefit of recovery. We may recover some things, but you know, just like abstinence doesn't equal recovery, nor does recovering things mean, you know, we are in the process, you know, we have recovered or have gotten to the point to where we don't need to continue to maintain our recovery. Neither does our health coming back. Our health can come back. We can recover physically, you know what I'm saying, get strong again, you know, and then we think, okay, well, I got my job back. I don't desire to use anymore. I've got my clothes back. I got my job. I got my car back. I got my girl back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, look, I got my teeth back. I got me some new teeth. And, you know, I done put on some weight. You know what I'm saying? You know, I get my hair cut. You know, I'm taking baths and stuff again. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I smell good now. Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, so, you know, I got a little swag with me, you know. So, hey, you know, I must not need recovery anymore. You know what I'm saying? I have
recovered.
But you know, like you said, you know, that addiction kind of sits and waits for us to get to that point to where we get to the point to where we get laxed on the severity of this thing. It's cunning, it's baffling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's insidious, like they say. It's very sneaky, you know. So, and we have to be vigilant, like you said.
Speaking about addiction, it never changes. It never changes. It always is what it always was and what it always will be.
Right.
We have to change. We have to change, you know?
Right.
We have to change.
Right.
If that makes any sense,
we can't
change it. We can't change
mm-hmm.
it to be something we want it to be. To change
mm-hmm.
our thinking, we have to change our behavior in order to be happy. Because the addiction is going to be what it always is.
Yeah.
You know.
And recovery, and recovery. Mm-hmm. And you're right. And recovery is the, you know, the answer to this thing, because, you know, what recovery means, you know, what is recovery? Okay. We're talking about what is recovery. And mm-hmm. when you use terms like this, you know, I know yourself being a student of, you know, the Greek language, you know mm-hmm. that there are certain terms that are used that have a meaning that is for the past, the present, mm-hmm. and the future. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so just like when people, you know, speak about deliverance or being delivered,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, they got delivered. They are continually being delivered,
mm-hmm.
and they are
mm-hmm.
looking for a deliverance in the future.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
And this is how I see recovery. You know,
mm-hmm.
okay, there are some parts of recovery that, you know, that happened. Okay. I stopped using. Okay. I stopped using. There's some things that came back to me because of that. Okay. You know,
mm-hmm.
some of my health came back and things of that nature. That's one part of it. That's the past. And so some of those things happened, you know, they happened already. Okay. But on a daily basis, I'm still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to do it on a daily basis. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me personally, you know, my belief system, I'm looking for a day where I don't need to recover any longer, if that makes sense to anybody.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. But I know
yeah.
as long as I live, I'm going to daily need to be recovering. So I have recovered, I am recovering, and I will recover. That's what recovery means to me.
As long as we're in this life, we're going to go through a process of recovery. Hello?
Can you say that again?
I said that as long as we're in this life, we're going to go through a process of recovery, I think.
That's right.
We're constantly, I think, recovering from something. We never fully recover because we're always, I guess, evolving. I guess we're getting kind of philosophical, not to get too philosophical now, but we're always looking to recover or bounce back from something. It's just what life, I guess, is all about, you know. But you know, recovery. Recovery is a beautiful thing. I think it is. You know,
it is.
I don't know. We think about it sometimes as being, you know, oh, I've been sick, man. I'm recovering, you know, and that word recovery, does it really frighten? Is it a frightening word? It shouldn't be a frightening word. You know.
No, it shouldn't, and like you said, you know, it's not really. You know, about, you know, and hopefully, you know, we didn't get too deep for anybody on this in the last part, but, you know, basically to keep it real simple, like you said, you know, recovery change, you know, we began to talk about that. Recovery is change. When you say, what is recovery? We've been talking about what is recovery. Recovery is change. Okay. And like mm-hmm. the lady was saying, one of the main things recovery the change, one of the major changes is a change in the way we think, because mm-hmm. we can stop using drugs, we can get better, we can get stronger, we can get healthier, we can get things back, we can get jobs back, we can get relationships back, we can get the house, we can get the car back. But if we don't change the way we think, we've only put out fires. Okay, if we don't change our thinking, then we're not actually recovering. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what recovery is changing. It's a change in the way we think. It's no longer us looking at the word recovery and saying, oh no, I don't want any parts of that. It's okay. Wow. You know, recovery, you know, we begin to change and our thought process is different now. Okay. You and I, at one point when they say, hey, you need to go into recovery, what was our thinking process? Oh, you know, H to the E double hockey sticks. No, you know what I'm saying? You know, we won't go, you know what I'm saying? You know, we don't want no parts of that. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to mandate me through law and put me in there through court. And then you're going to have to keep me there through the straight jacket. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I'm getting up out of here if I can, you know. But we're telling people to run to recovery because we see and we have tasted that it's good, you know. And so, yeah, so, you know, our mindsets have changed, you know. Our way of thinking about this way of life has changed. It's a way of life. It's a process, you know. It's a way of life without the use of drugs. Mm-hmm.
So let me say this quickly. I know we're running out of time. So then recovery, I guess, when you can really and fully know your benefits of being sober. Or does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the stages of recovery. You begin to change and you begin to become aware of, you know, the benefits of being, of having a lifestyle without the use of drugs and actually putting into practice health behaviors, you know.
Okay.
You begin to see the benefit in putting into practice healthy behaviors, spiritual behaviors, you know what I'm saying? Things that you know, at one time may have been frightening or, you know, disgusting to you, you know, or, you know, when you talk, people start telling you about, hey, you need to work on this, you need to pray about this, you need to, you know, you need to put that down and pick this up, you know, you get offended or we got offended, we fought it, you know, but in the process of recovery, those the way we think changes, you know, and we began. Oh man, we ran out of time, folks. Hey,
that's
but look,
topic,
look, we're gonna pick back up. Yeah, we're gonna pick back up on this next week. This is a great topic, and we're gonna come back next week, guys. And we ask that you come in and tune in, and we say, you know, God bless you, and
night,
you know,
folks.
Just for today, don't pick up. God bless you.
There you go. Thanks for listening.
It was like a 24-hour disappearance. You know, it was only like, well, he's been gone 24 hours. And then I would come home. And then it got to be, he's been gone 2 days. And I'm talking about missing persons reports being made. You know, police being called looking for me. It said, while using, we lived in another world. We experienced only periodic jolts of reality or self-awareness. It seemed that we were at least two people instead of one. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We ran around and tried to get our lives together before our next run. Sometimes we could do this very well, but later it was less important and more impossible. In the end, Dr. Jekyll died and Mr. Hyde took over. For a while, it was like I could pull it together.